dead. Each dinner guest dispatched with a swing of that bloody knife, and all because of her disobedience. He had slaughtered them with a supernatural swiftness. No one had a chance to protest, but their death stares spoke volumes, and their blood, warm and plentiful, covered her body. She fell to her knees and bowed her head. She took several deep breaths. Tears she formerly could not control quickly disappeared. Overwhelming fear and an internal will to survive took over. She raised her hands in supplication, her sobs quelled and her body calm. She listened to the storm while awaiting his wrath. When he did not move, she gathered her courage and spoke. But a stranger voiced the words. From a place of safety, she observed. She raised her head. "Master," she spoke softly, fearfully but with clarity. "Forgive your servant, your true love. I am fresh to this world and unfamiliar with its customs. Absolve my tears." She met his gaze. "My love for you is real. My yearning for you is genuine. But my ties to heaven leave me torn and emotional." She wanted her words to appease him. She waited. But when he gave no response, she knew by his murderous gaze that her life was forfeit. She barely blinked, terrified of his reaction. She prayed for life and yet wished for a quick death. He sat down at the table, and despite the bloody corpses that surrounded him, he filled his plate with food. She focused on him to avoid the stares of the dead. He ate like an animal, and then sat back in his chair, licking his fingers. He belched loudly, glaring at her all the while.
"You humiliated me. No speech, no matter how pretty, will save you. I'm master. And while you will bear my children, you are not my true love. Don't ever put yourself on so high a pedestal."
He hit the table so hard, one of the bodies fell to the floor with a sick splat that sprayed her face with blood.
"You serve me, understand?"
Startled and determined not to wipe the trailing wetness away, she maintained her composure. "Yes, master. Forgive me."
"I tell you what to say, how to act, and when. You'll learn your part. You'll obey. Or learn that pain is a daily, even hourly, event."
He moved toward her and held out his hand. She accepted his help and stood in front of him, biting her lower lip, waiting for his judgment. Instead of beating her, he poured her a glass of wine, and from a ring on his finger, he stirred a white substance into it. She watched and thought poison would be a much better death than beheading. She felt no fear.
"Drink. I've work to do. You can contemplate your punishment while you wait."
He waited as she drew the glass to her lips and drank. She felt only the warmth of the alcohol in her empty stomach. He motioned for her to back up. She did, the chain on her ankle moving with her, and she sat down in the 3x4-foot box, her prison. Not until the door closed and the lock clicked did she allow air into her lungs. In seconds, the world went black. She awoke alone. One minute, she found herself in a box in the middle of a blood-covered dining room, and the next, she awoke on a mattress in the dungeon-like space he provided her. She prayed she was dreaming, but the stickiness of the blood on her face told her otherwise. She longed for June 15th, her last day of freedom, and the opportunity to make different choices. The master had taken her, subjected her to constant torture, what he called training, and last night had been the first test of that training. She had failed horribly. Terrified, she gained hope from the simple fact that she still lived. A noise startled her. She fought the panic that assaulted her intellect. Light filled the room. He had opened the blinds on the